Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to a special Seconda Stella episode of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of Milan-Inter at the San Siro, which finishes 2-1 to Inter. Goals from Acerbi in the 18th, Thuram in the 49th, and Tomori in the 80th. A win in the derby to secure Inter their 20th league title 5 match days prior to the end of the season. I'm happy we're recording this episode when we are, because of all the content that's been coming out from the celebrations. It's been extremely fun. It's going to be fun to get into all of that. And just, it's been a long time coming. This cycle with Inzaghi, we got close his first year and finally it happens. And there's really so much to get into. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, in your lifetime, you have seen Inter win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is the 8th Scudetto of your lifetime. 1988-89 season, you were just born. Tough to remember that. But you have, you know, several more titles to reflect on, and I want to ask you where this one ranks in, you know, in the number of titles that you've seen in your lifetime. 2005 was the one that was awarded via Calciopoli. 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, the Mancini run. You know, after Calciopoli, where Inter really dominated Italian football, went into. Actually, 2010 was the Mourinho win, the treble year, and then the COVID Scudetto in 2020-2021, Conte's last year, and now this one, Inzaghi's first. Now that the dust has settled and you've had some time to reflect, where does this Scudetto rank for you in the ones you've seen?
Yeah, but, you know, I was doing my research and trying to look back and trying to get back in the mindset of how I felt when these Scudetto or Scudetti were being won. Number one, it, for me, is always going to be the treble, like just because of the meaning and everything that took. And there's so many players on that team that were just my favorites. I don't think there was a player I disliked on that team. And then that's where I start having problems. You know, it's like, do I pick one of the Mancini teams because Vietti was a part of them and I loved Vietti?
Adriano.
Yeah, Adriano was there too, of course. I think when I look at it and I think about like what would be the second best one, and this may be a hot take, but I think it was because of all the hurt that had gone into the years leading up to this one. I would have to say the Covidetto is number two for me, only because it was like finally I get to taste victory again.
The banter era is over.
It's over. Yeah. Like to get out of that and with that group of players, it's a shame that we didn't have fans at the stadium. And I'm sorry, my voice sounds like it's a little hoarse. I was screaming at a hockey game last night. Not a good experience, but yeah, that's probably my second. And then I would have to say this one's my third because, I mean, you look at this team as a whole. You look at the run we've gone on, having only lost one game domestically and really 3 games all season, if you want to include the Coppa Italia and the Champions League. I mean, this is an incredible run, and I think it's being understated only because we have such a big lead. Nobody was really a challenge to us in the league. And I think because it was a bit of an underwhelming run in the Champions League, people are kind of not giving it the credit where it's due. But this is the second star. You know, some people probably didn't think we were going to see that in our lifetime, which I think is crazy because, you know, if you think, you know, and you look at it as a fan, I would, especially with the way we've been successful in the league, at least in my lifetime and your lifetime, you would think we'd be able to get that 20th one. So It's an amazing feat. I'm proud of the guys. I think they played with a lot of heart all season, not even just this game, but I think all season there was a lot of heart. The camaraderie that you have between the teammates, the way that they are so supportive of one another and truly like a family. Like, I know that's kind of corny and thrown around, but like even the players say it themselves, just how they feel about one another. So to get that second star, I had a nice phone call with my dad after we clinched it, and we were able to kind of share a little heart to heart there. And it was, it was just special. It was very special, and I'm very happy. And I kind of, the only thing I wish is my nonno was still around to have seen this.
Yeah, I have the same feelings too. You have to look at these in context, right? And I was thinking back to all these titles that we've been able to see as well. And, you know, the Mancini years after Calciopoli, those were amazing teams. That was a real dynasty of Italian football, and you can't take anything away from it. But they didn't have the same weight as the three most recent Scudetti for me. I would put the treble season first, obviously, because that enters you into, you know, football immortality, despite all the people that hang out on Twitter that don't understand football heritage and try to say Inter is a small club. A very few select teams have been able to experience a treble, and Inter is one of them. And it's, you know, still to this day, the only Italian team to ever achieve it. So for me, that is first. And then as far as, you know, Conte's title versus Inzaghi's title, obviously the COVID aspect to it, the context around it coming out of the banter era was, it's huge, but I would have to put this one second for the simple fact that it is the second star, and to get that.
But we don't get the second star if Conte doesn't get 19.
No, it's true. It's true. But this happened. We won that second star, the 19th, because I think Atalanta tied Torino or something. It was a match day where we won it, you know, without being on the pitch. So this was such a different experience, right? Because we win it during a derby, which has never been seen before. Fair. You know, for me, that puts it up there. And then also, you know, I've been on Twitter since like 2006, but I haven't been active in terms of actually engaging with people and starting this journey that you and I have been on for the past couple of years. Like, being a part of the disrespect that this team has been shown, you know, all throughout the Inzaghi era, from, you know, Suning being broke to, you know, this having 12 losses in the league last year, to, you know, oh, your Champions League run was a fluke, to, oh, you're selling all your best players, you know, to Simone can't win, you know, in a 38 game season. Like, just all this stuff that, since being on Twitter, cultural Twitter, and actually engaging with these people, to finally get it done. I don't know, like, the emotions around this one for me were so, so great. And went wild with my dad yesterday. Went into the city today for the sole purpose of trying to find La Gazzetta to be able to frame that front page. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it, but we had the cousins in Italy pick that up for us. So we'll see. Nice. We'll see it in September when my mom goes. But and also, you know, having been at the stadium like a week ago, this was an emotional one for me for sure. So this is going to be my second favorite that I've been able to witness, but a tremendous, tremendous achievement. And you mentioned also the fact that this is happening 5 match days before the end of the season. For me, I want to pose this to you. Does it take away sort of the anticipation of winning the title at all, given that there's still a good portion of season left, right? That still needs to be played here. Does it take it away for you at all? Like, is it, I obviously, it's, you know, in 2010 we got to see them do it on the last match day against Siena, but, you know, like, does it take away any of that excitement, or are you happy that it's done and dusted, and, you know, we can just see these 5 games for what they are, basically, you know, exhibitions and for pride?
No, I mean, let's be honest. I'm glad it's done and dusted, and we got nothing to worry about. We can roll out some of the young guys, see some guys maybe get, you know, some more minutes than they probably would have. And listen, I'm sure Inzaghi wants to get 100 points. I mean, that's nothing to sniff at, even though we're going to fall behind Conte's record. But you can make the case that, you know, when Conte did it, it was much easier to do back then. You know, Inter, Milan were both in banter eras. Of course it's easy to get 102 points when you two of the biggest rivals you have aren't really competitive. Now, you can, you know, I'm sure Juventini would probably make the case back, well, Juve is not the same way that they were, and they're not competitive. Fair. That's probably also a valid point. But I think competitively, when you look at the league as a whole between both years and top to bottom, you can make the case that this is a tougher league to win now than it was back then when Conte did his, you know, his record. So I'm not trying to take away anything from what Juve did, but, you know, it's it would still be impressive if we were able to hit 100 points. To me, at this point, it doesn't matter. You know, I would say you would have gone for it. If you were able to break the record, they would have gone for it. Now it's like, you know what, let's just get some rotation. Let some guys play a little bit longer minutes, have some fun. Enjoy it for what it is, man. Like, this is a magical season. You know, this you won the Supercoppa, now you won the Scudetto, came up short in the Champions League. And now when we're looking at who's moving on, who's in what position, you know, you feel like, man, we really probably could have got away with it, or got to a semifinal, I should say, not got away with it, but got into a semifinal. But we all knew what the goal was this season. I'm very happy with it, and I just hope that the guys are able to just enjoy it for what it is, and are able to cherish these memories. Because again, we don't know who's going to be around next year. So, like, let's enjoy what we have here with these guys, and continue to win as much as we can, and celebrate one another, and celebrate with one another.
I think that's so important to touch on, because, you know, when I was looking at the Scudetto that we've seen in our lifetime, the Scudetti that we've seen in our lifetimes, you know, it's 30 something years, and there's been 7 of them. Like, this doesn't happen. It very easily can turn, right? The tides can turn, and you can find yourself in a down period. So I really implore Interisti to enjoy it. They certainly have been on Twitter. I know that if you've been following my feed for the past 24 hours, you're probably sick of me, but I'm enjoying it. I'm really, really enjoying it. It was, you know, especially to win it in a derby too, and we'll get into the game. There's a lot to get into, right? We'll talk about what these next 5 games should look like for this team. We'll talk a little bit about the season. I think as far as, like, you know, talking through most important players and stuff like that, we can wait till the season finishes out to get into all that stuff. But we should definitely touch on, you know, some of the celebrations and some of the stuff that came out of that. So without further ado, should we jump into this game?
Let's do it.
All right. First thing to touch on, Inter goes with a lineup that has been pretty consistent all year. These are the guys that have put us in the position to win the title. No real surprises. I think the only balotaggio you could say was Darmian or Dumfries on the right-hand side. It feels like Darmian has really solidified that spot with Inzaghi. So for a big game, he takes it there. On the other side, Pioli, coming off of 5 straight derby losses, trying to switch things up, goes with Leao in the number 9, Musa on the right, and Pulisic in his natural position, they say, on the left. My reaction to seeing this was, you're doing a little bit too much here to try to pick up a result. Obviously, they wanted to slow down Bastoni and Di Marco by having Musa there on the right-hand side. But when you first saw, you know, I don't know if you saw the probable lineups or whenever you first realized that they were going to go with this approach, did you feel like you're playing into Inter's hands a little bit? Or did you feel like, you know, this sort of like surprise, you know, switch it up on the team might work in Milan's favor?
Yeah, I honestly had no concerns with their lineup and with the rotations and position changes that Pioli made. I think that he, yeah, like you said, was like a little, probably tinkering a little too much. You know, sometimes managers, and it's not just Pioli, they tend to over manage the game and think too much into it. Now, that being said, everything that they had done the last five matches leading up to this match hadn't worked. So why not maybe give it a change? But, you know, I mean, I think it was Bonetti who said it in the beginning of the match that Leao does not like to play as a center forward. So it's like, why would you do that to arguably your best player and put him in a position where he's not going to really be able to use his skill set to the best of its abilities? And then just moving, you know, Pulisic to the left, I don't know if I would say that's his best side. I mean, it's probably his best side to be able to get the ball onto his right foot. But at the same time, I mean, he was kind of a beast on the right side most of the season. Like, I think this is a guy who was desperate to get something, to get some type of response, to get some type of result, even if it was a draw, just to delay it. So he didn't go down as a, you know, not only he's lost the most matches against Inter in the history of Milan, and he's now lost six in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I think he really is an Interista through and through. You know, we all know where his heart lies. So maybe he was just like, I know I'm getting fired. I don't care. And that was the result and how everything played out there. But yeah.
Might as well switch it up. Yeah, it's curtains for Pioli after this result.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, getting into this game. So it was, as far as like derby intensity. We definitely saw it pick up more towards, you know, the end of that second half. But the game started and, you know, Inter was playing well, but also sort of content to let Milan have the ball because nothing that they were doing was really threatening, right? They did have, you know, some attempts on goal and Sommer made some saves, but nothing was really threatening in those opening 20 minutes until Acerbi gets on the score sheet here. A corner kick routine that Inzaghi says they practiced the day of the match. They were just going through set pieces. Di Marco whipped in the ball into the box. Pavard gets the flick on, and absolutely no one is picking up Acerbi. He's free by himself in the middle of the box, puts it in to put Inter up 1-0. At this point, any doubts in your mind that it wasn't going to go our way? I feel like once I saw him put it in, I lost my mind, but also with an understanding that, you know, I don't think Milan had anything for us yesterday.
Yeah, once that first one went in, a lot of my anxiety went right out the window. I thought, like, we got this. Like, this is, there's no way we're not winning. I felt like they would get a goal back, but I felt like we were going to win the game through and through. Like, I was not nervous at all. I felt that with the way the players, you know, who met before the match with members of the Curva and were able to kind of like take in the meaning of it, and, you know, unlike our rivals, we're not getting reprimanded by them when they were able to enjoy the moment and just kind of amp them up leading into this. I really felt a calming. You know, I didn't feel like we had it out of control. Even leading up to the goal, it felt like things were going our way, that we were pushing forward. We were making, you know, chances and being able to be creative. Hakan had some amazing passes even before that to kind of get guys in space and stuff. And it was, never something that I was truly worried about. I felt so, so good about it.
When Hakan slices the ball across the pitch and it does that, it just skips across. It's my favorite pass in football. It's just, it's unbelievable. A few minutes later, Di Marco comes down the left-hand side, pulls it across to Lautaro. And this was a bad one. It just hits him in the leg and flies high over the bar. But it was a tap-in that you would expect better from him. Lautaro, you know, in terms of his overall game, he fought super, super hard last night. They were all over him, constantly fouling him. Honestly, there should have been, you know, more yellows for the stuff that he was taking earlier in the match. But he's been out of scoring form for quite a while. It also is coinciding with talks around his renewal, so we don't know mentally, you know, where he's at, but that was one you expect him to put away. A few minutes after that, Somer gets called into action. Leao drives down the left, goes for power, and drills the ball low. He gets right down to save it. That was one of several saves that he made that were so... He made them look easy, but those are not saves that everyone makes. And it was good to see Jan, you know, obviously be informed for this match. 38th minute, off the post. It's Thuram drifts inside on the right, plays a 1-2 with Barella. When it comes back to him, he opens up his foot to guide the shot across goal, but sends it skimming wide of the far post.
Was it off the post?
I don't remember it hitting the post, but this ticker says that it did. Was it?
I don't think so.
It might have. I got to go back to it. I got to look at it. 40th minute, Musa pulls it back to Calabria on the right of the box, and Somer parries it away with a left hand. That was a really, really good save. Again, like, he just looked like a wall to open up this match, and you know, feeling really confident that it was gonna be our day. But we break on the counter immediately after that save. Mkhitaryan gets just inside the area, but drills it right into Manyan, and that's the first half. Yeah, it was, you know, going into the break up 1-0, 45 minutes away from being champions. At this point, you know, what's going through your mind? How are you feeling about the derby after the first half?
I was calm, you know, I mean, aside from that that Somer being called into action instance against Leao, I really didn't feel like they were very threatening. You know, you see some American fans trying to hype up what Musa and Perisic on the mind, but Pulisic were doing in that game, and I don't know what they were seeing. I really don't know what they were getting all excited about. I didn't really feel threatened by any of them, to be quite honest. I didn't. It felt like Milan were playing scared, in my opinion, and scared to get embarrassed, and they didn't want another 5-1 drubbing, and they were just really trying to either hit on the counter and make the most of their opportunity there, or, you know, have it lead somewhere else. It wasn't anything of note for sure. So going into the half, I was like, all right, man, another 45 minutes, we're champions, you know, let's come out early, score a quick one here, and be done with them.
How big did you pop for Pavard's tackle on Leao to close out the first half?
Man, I loved it. I loved it. Mind you, guys, so I live in Charlotte. I had to drive to Raleigh to go to this hockey game to have my heart crushed. But as I'm driving out there, I've got the game on my dash, and I'm watching it on my laptop. I got Wi-Fi in my car. I'm utilizing every bit of data so I could watch the game, and I've got it, the laptop on my dash there, so I could see what's happening. And I'm going crazy, enjoying it. And when he made that save, I remember just like hitting the top of my steering wheel, like bah, 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 like so pumped up for it. And listen, I love Benji, man.
Also in that first half, Barella and Lauti picking up yellow cards. Were you surprised to see them come out in the second half? Come out onto the pitch, not come out of the game.
Yeah, no, and I'll say I think it's because of the magnitude of the game. You know, and I think in instances like that, I think the referees themselves, because it's a derby, get a little tighter with the cards. In the, like, when it could be like a second yellow. I mean, obviously if it's a straight red instance, which we can get into later with what happens towards the end of the match, that's different. But in these moments, it was just, I was like, you know what? Like, we know the magnitude of this. You're not going to take out Barella for Fratesi, and you're not going to take out Lauti for Alexis this early in the match, because you still have something to play for. So.
Yeah, and I thought that was a good move also because they're the captain and the vice captain. Like, this is the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
You need that sort of leadership on the pitch. Eventually they would come out, but we'll talk about that. So Inter opens up the half. Within 4 minutes, they go up top. Thuram, Bastoni plays a ball out of the back into Thuram, holds it up perfectly, tries to find Mkhitaryan making a run into the box. It comes off of Tomori back into Thuram, who then darts across the top of the box and near post Manyan strikes again. He lashes it into the bottom corner, puts Inter up to nothing. At this point, I'm losing my fucking mind. It feels like we're on our way to another derby demolition. It didn't quite turn out that way, but Thuram scoring here, is he officially the signing of the season after this goal that puts him, I think, on how many goal contributions? It might be around 20 or so.
It's definitely 20 in all comps at the very least. I don't know about the league itself, what he's on, but yeah, I would have to agree with that statement, only because as much as I love Sommer and I would have tried to make a case for him, Thuram in two derbies has two goals, massive goals. You know, in hockey, we call it a game-winning goal because it's the goal that really gets you the win. And he did it in both matches, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. He's been incredible. And it felt like this game, from minute one, he was playing with a chip on his shoulder. He was playing with a little bit of a purpose. I think he, you know, was kind of was hearing a lot of rumblings about his fading late in the season. And I'm sure he paid attention. I wouldn't say he took it personally or took it to heart, but I would say that he definitely was like, I need to show them that I am, you know, the player that I think I am, that others say I am, that my teammates see me as. I need to step up here. And he did. He did just that. I mean, even the control to bring down the ball that was played to him by Bastoni there. Fantastic ball to bring that down cleanly and be able to control it. Dribble a few times. He did dribble into a defender, but he recovered nicely and then ends up scoring. Absolute beauty of a goal. You know, shout out Tony Mitch, who said, you know, even before these goals started going in, he was always critical of Manyan near post. And near post Manyan does it again, man.
Yeah, it did feel like I definitely don't want to take anything away from Thuram. He ripped that ball, but it also did feel like, you know, Sommer or someone else could have got down quicker. It just felt like he went for it a second too late, and it was obvious. It was obvious that, you know, he probably could have done something better with it if he had been a little bit quicker. But it doesn't matter. Inter goes ahead 2-0. The game really starts to pick up here. Now Pioli puts on Giroud. It was a straight sub for Reinders, right? So he goes two forwards, only two midfielders in Adli and Loftus-Cheek. Also, can we talk about Adli in the first half just trying to get a little bit too crazy with Barella getting clearly taken out from behind by Deo? And, you know, trying to pull him up and getting a little bit crazy. You also saw when he got subbed off, he completely ripped through I don't even know what it was on the sideline, but he just kicked through some sort of bin. They looked a little rattled, the Milan players, on the night, just not composed,
who,
not ready.
Who are you talking
about?
Adli? I've never heard of him. What, did he do anything last night? I didn't. Because honestly, it felt like they were playing a man down. So I'm glad he decided to assert himself in an instance with Nicolò Barella, because, buddy, I don't even know. I don't recognize you. Who are you? You are a blip on the radar, bud. You know, so congrats being tough for 35 seconds there. I mean, you really did something. I don't know.
We'll get into the rest of the Milan players losing their composure as we go on in this second half here. A couple more chances. Çalhanoğlu, you know, rips a shot that Manyan tips over. Leao plays a 1-2 with Deo before it reaches Calabria, and Calabria had a good chance on a volley, but blazed it right over the bar. And then eventually in the 80th, right? So it's 10 minutes left. Inter's up 2-0. Tomori pulls one back. Chukwueze hits across to the back post. Leal nods it across the box. Gabia from point blank range heads it, and Sommer somehow makes a brilliant save, ends up pushing it onto the post. But Tomori is there in the right place, unmarked, puts it in the net for the 2-1 there. And then he, again, like, loses his fucking mind. Like, celebrating like he just won the World Cup, which I just... There's 10 minutes left for you to avoid embarrassment here, and having your rivals win a title off of your backs. I understand the emotion of the moment, but that also, did that feel over the top for you? Am I being a little bit too old man?
No, man, I would agree with you. It's like, you can celebrate like that if you just equalized, you know, but you didn't equalize. You just pulled the game closer. And, you know, I think Tomori is a bit of an embellisher in certain things, and not just in the celebration, but even the way he was trying to make it look like Lautaro kicked him in the head in the first half, you know, rolling around like he just got sniped in the face. That was a little annoying in my opinion. But I guess when you're English and you don't really win much, you know, you gotta celebrate the little things.
Yeah. Again, like, you're still losing the match. Like, why don't you just get set and, you know, try to get back into it. They have a couple more, you know, they're continuing to put pressure on Inter, but we're holding down the fort. In the 93rd minute, Theo and Dumfries both get sent off. I think Theo fouled Fratesi, or someone fouled Fratesi, and then Theo pushed him down. Didn't need to, again, like, just a little bit too excessive, loses his composure. And then I love Denzel getting in Theo's face and just, you know, pushing him off. The players, both teams really come together. There wasn't really you know, any punches thrown or anything like that, but I think you could call it a scuffle. Was it the right call to send off both players there, Denzel and Theo?
Definitely Theo. I don't know about Denzel. Listen, I mean, you know, I was kind of talking about it with some of the guys in the group chat, that I was like, yo, if you're going to get a red card there, you better hurt somebody then. Like, I would rather him punch Theo in that instance instead of, like, I don't know. I think he grabbed his neck or did something around his head area. I really don't remember what he did. I don't. And I'm not trying to nitpick on Denzel, but it's like, if you're going to get a red card, bro, do something. Like, actually deserve a red card. Maybe that's my thing, and maybe the ref was just trying to take control of the situation, but to me that was Theo's, like, second yellow, so he was getting a red card regardless. So it's like, if you're going to go down with him, do something, man. Like, actually go down with him. Don't, I mean, Fratesi did more, and he didn't even get carded, you know?
Yeah, and even the, you know, it's once again a derby where I feel like Denzel got the upper hand on Theo. In you know, we'll get into this later. 97th minute, there's a corner for Milan. Okay, so keep in mind, Theo is their vice captain, Calabria is their captain. In the 97th minute, Milan has a corner. Again, it's the last, probably the last kick of the game. He swings his arm into Fratesi's face and catches him, you know, right on the cheekbone there. He goes down. It's an obvious red card. It's such a stupid thing to do. Like, not only is Tomori yellow carded, so he's going to miss the game. Theo is going to miss the next game. Now Calabria, the captain, gets himself sent off. The next game is against Juventus, and they're still fighting for that second spot. I guess it doesn't really mean anything other than maybe seeding for the pot in Champions League next season. But still, like, just really, really dumb from the captain there. He gets a red. Milan is reduced to 9 men against Inter's 10. Corner comes in. Nothing happens. I think Mkhitaryan clears, and the Trippio Fischio is made there. And Inter wins the Scudetto after 97 minutes in derby. Just not the most memorable derby from a footballing standpoint, but memorable for these moments. And, you know, feel bad for some of those Milan fans that were there to hopefully see them stop their rivals. I feel bad for like that little kid that was crying on TV. Like I just, it wasn't a good look how they completely melted down at the end of the game.
I don't feel bad for them. I was that kid in some years. So I mean, it's if you love a team that I'm listen to, and I'm not trying to diss the kid or disrespect the kid by any means, but it's like you love the team, you're disappointed that they're not playing well. You know, I mean, some people say like, oh, it's just a game. Well, to these kids, you know, maybe it's the way they have a relationship with their father. Maybe it's the way that they, you know, are able to connect with kids at school or whatever it may be. So it's, you know, it's a way to show your love and passion for the club that you've grown up supporting. So, you know, I mean, I remember crying in 94 with the World Cup loss to Brazil. And it was for a long time I hated Brazil and Brazilian players. I was very bitter until Ronaldo came to Inter. So it's, you know, it took that to be able to heal. But, you know, all kidding aside, like, I mean, that it's crushing. You don't want to lose. I'm sure there's Interisti who would have been crying if the roles were reversed.
Absolutely, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Absolutely. But either way.
On the topic of that kid, though, that Interista who wrote that nice little that tweet, yeah. that was really cool. That was really cool. And you know, hats off to him for recognizing that, yeah, I mean, it's like he said, it is just a game. And that they will, you know, I mean, listen, as Interista, we may not want them to come back and be competitive, but they're Milan. You know, eventually they will have another cycle again. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing that's one of the debates that's, you know, come up on Calcio Twitter after this is really like class, right? The only team to not congratulate Inter on the Scudetto on their official accounts is Milan. Apparently, during the title celebrations, they were playing loud techno music over our celebrations. You know, we see how they reacted towards the end of the game, getting those two red cards. I see a lot of, you know, Milanisti and even Juventini with, you know, Andrea Agnelli putting out that tweet yesterday, you know, for the date where they won their second star a long, long time ago. And just a lack of class that's really... I'm of the mind, you know, the same thing that you just mentioned, like eventually it's going to touch back over to them. And we're going to be in the other position. So the only thing that I care about is Inter. Like, I don't care what Milanisti want to say, Juventini want to say, it's all good. Like, it is what it is. But I just think the congratulations afterwards is customary, and for them to not even put out a statement whatsoever, like, okay, you know, I guess it is what it is. I understand we're a rival, but it's six straight derby wins, and anyone that wants to argue that Inter doesn't deserve this title, we played the best football in the country without question, like without question. So it's well deserved, and you'd hope people would act with a little bit more class, but I guess it's not. That's not the expectation that we should have these days.
Yeah, I mean, it stinks that that's how they want to handle it, but you know what? When you're losing and getting your butt kicked like that, I don't think you're going to be a sore or a gracious winner. Six straight losses in the derby. I don't think, even I could be wrong, I don't think in my lifetime Inter has lost six straight derbies. Lost.
No,
not,
I think that's, you know, a record. So,
yeah, so, I mean, would I hope that Inter would not act the same way? I mean, I think that we do carry ourselves a little bit more class. We are a little bit more gracious in defeat.
Yeah. So and the reason I say we definitely do is like it's stuff like Barella at the Duomo when they started chanting like figlio di puttana to Theo, and he completely like stopped the chant and started a new one for Denzel. Like, it's just stuff like that where after they won, you know, the Scudetto a couple years ago, a lot was said, a lot was said by the players, by the people that were representing the club. So while I understand a lot of Interisti can have some hang up about that, we haven't really acted in that manner. So, you know, I think that's really where this class discussion has come from. But anyway, screw all that. It's Inter celebration time, and let's get into some of the things that have happened since. So we did see Inter players celebrating until 5 o'clock in the morning in the Duomo with all of the Interisti. It looked like the party has been absolutely insane. Inter is going to be playing on Sunday at 12:30, and that's when they'll do their open bus tour.
Yeah, Torino's probably going to smoke us like 5-0. They're going to still be hungover.
The cigars are going to still be going. Jang puts out, you know, a really, really nice statement. He obviously really cares about the club, and I think the funniest thing to come out of all of this has been the Hakan Instagram Live that happened earlier today, where he jumps on Instagram Live, is basically talking to Interisti. Thuram comes in. Like, Hakan has no voice at this point. Thuram comes in wearing, like, ski goggles, obviously completely wrecked. They end up getting Dimash on the line. Said he just woke up an hour ago. I think it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Barella comes in very, very short, like just yeah. Pops in, says hi. And then eventually they get Steven Zhang himself, El Prez. They were calling him Presidente on the Instagram Live. Thuram and Çalhanoğlu are going at him, saying that they cost him €0, and that you know, they need a special gift. He starts saying that it was a mistake for him to come on the live. Lauti jumps on so fucking hungover. I mean, so fucking hungover. You can see it in his face when they see him pop on. You know, they just start dying laughing, which tells me that he had been rocked for sure the night before. So just like cool stuff like that, like videos of Hakan dancing with you know, doing Aishel Tupego with Inzaghi's son and Chiara Fratesi. Did you see her video?
Yeah, but you know, I mean, she's dating that loser, supposedly.
Which one?
Wes McKennie.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's the rumor.
Damn.
So
dampens the Scudetto for me a little bit.
I mean, yeah, you know, I was kind of hoping to see a video of her like hooking up with one of the Interisti or something. Damn. You know,
I don't know that they would do that.
Hey,
to
Davide. What? Maybe you can, and like swipes in there.
He gets in. Welcome to Milan.
Yeah.
It's just been incredible to see, especially all the scenes in the Duomo. So the party's going to keep going. Obviously on Sunday. You know, the open bus is going to be huge because Inter hasn't had that since 2010, right? Because on the COVID season, they had to celebrate on top of the Inter HQ, I think, or San Siro, one of the two.
San Siro, yeah.
Yeah, they weren't able to be in the crowd.
Yeah, no, they had to be like separated from them. So yeah, this will be the first time since 2010 that they get to enjoy it with the fans. Wild.
Yeah, it's well deserved. It's well deserved. Been a long time coming. And Inter has the second star. How quick are you going to buy that merch once it comes out? Do you like the new jersey?
I got to see it. I know that we've seen like renderings and rumor. Like, I got to see it on them. Like, when they do that photo shoot where they drop it, I got to see how that looks before. I mean, I'm probably going to buy it regardless. I didn't buy any kit this year just because I couldn't. But yeah, I'm gonna get it. I'm undecided. Well, it also depends on if players come in that I'm hoping come in the summertime. But I think I think if I'm able right now, I'm leaning towards a Barella kit right now. If you ask me today, who I would get, Barella.
What's been your favorite moment of the celebration so far?
My favorite moment of the celebrations so far. Gosh, that's
one Real quick update. Juve have blown their 2-0 aggregate lead. Lazio leading 2-0 in the Coppa Italia semifinal.
That's awesome. I'm Nick Diani, diehard Laziali, buddy. I'm a diehard Laziali today. And Sean McIntosh. Shout out Sean McIntosh. Guy always hooks me up with tickets to Charlotte FC and been a really good guy. Just even in my time here in Charlotte. Anyway, favorite moment. You know what? This is probably gonna sound cheesy, but it's probably just the emotion that you see with Hakan being able to get this title.
Yeah,
I think it means a lot to him to finally be able to be a league winner, and I mean he's deserved it. You know, we've probably deserved maybe three, definitely two of the last three titles. So it's a shame that we didn't win it the first year with Inzaghi, but to finally get that monkey off your back, you're number 20. You get to be a part of number 20. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I my favorite moment has to be Hakan and Simone's son. Obviously, Simone's son looked like real timid and looked like a shy kid, and Hakan just got in there, made sure that he was enjoying his time at the Inter party. So for me, that's been my favorite moment so far, but a lot more to come. All right. Best performance yesterday in the title clincher for you.
Ooh, best performance. Well, I know who you're going to pick. Why? I did see some tweets. I think I know who you're going to pick. But I'm going to go with Benji Pavard.
Damn it.
That's not who we're going to pick?
I was going to pick Benji because I thought you were going to pick Thuram. I was going to say Benji basically saved the game.
I thought you were going to say Thuram, so I went Benji. Oh man, I should have stuck with who I wanted to say. But all right, well no, I'm sorry.
Let me do Pavard.
Fine, Marcus. Right, yeah, so I'll say Thuram. I think his link up play was phenomenal all game yesterday. His movement off the ball, it felt like he was really driving with a purpose. Where it felt like in weeks past he was almost hesitant to run, and maybe that was a health thing. You know, he did have an injury. Maybe he was still a little worried about going 100%. Just because you never know, you don't want to pull something. But yesterday it felt like he was in the right space physically, and he dominated from start to finish. Obviously, scored a massive goal to clinch the 3 points and win it for us and get us that second star. So yeah, hats off to Tikus.
The hold up play was sick.
The play was awesome, man. He was
real strong yesterday. Like real tough to bring down.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
A lot of really nice just touches just to control, and he was immense yesterday. I'll say Pavard because there's two sliding tackles that he made that saved the game for us, right? Like the end of the first half, that slide tackle on Leao. If we go into the half, you know, Milan, it's tied with us 1-1. You don't know how that's going to affect them mentally in the second half. And then also the slide tackle towards the end of the game that I forget exactly who played the ball across, but he made the slide tackle and then it went back into the player and went out for a goal kick. It was, he was really, really, really good. Yesterday, a player that wanted to be at Inter at all costs, had the opportunity to go to Manchester United and wanted to be with us. We'll talk about all these players and the seasons that they had, you know, when we wrap up this season, but he's definitely one that I remember, that I'm going to remember for how good he's been this season. So ultimate man of the match has to be Thuram, but Pavard is not too far behind. All right, moving forward, we're going to revel in this title win, you know, for quite a while, but we do have games coming up, 5 games left. Moving forward, how do you think Inzaghi is going to approach these games?
That's tough. You know, that's a tough one.
I'll read out the schedule to you real quick. Hold on. All right, so fixtures coming up. Home against Torino. That is the title celebration.
Yeah.
Away to Sassuolo, away to Frosinone, home Lazio, and away to Verona to end the season. Three relegation sides. Lazio and Torino.
I think we're going to see a lot of rotation. But the thing that I'm curious about is it really depends on like how seriously he wants to take these matches. You know, like do you want to go all out and get the wins? Do you want to let some young guys like a Tejan Buchanan start from minute one and see what you got? I don't know what he's going to do. That's the hard thing. I think he's gonna let, you know, some deserved guys rest, whether it be, you know, Lautaro, Barella. You know, it's gonna be a long season next year as well. Granted, we also will have the Club World Cup, so it's like, why not let some of these guys sit? Le Fratesi, Aslani start from minute one. You know, we're seeing players, and I'm not just talking about Interisti, but I'm saying, you know, but like players from all over Europe saying it's just too much. It's too long a season. There's too many games. Blah blah blah.
It is.
You know, you don't want to burn these guys out and just ruin their careers. And we may think, oh, it's just one game or whatever. One game could be enough to like really recharge your battery. And, you know, that's like 2 weeks off, really, if you think about it. Yeah.
Euros, I mean, and Copa America this summer as well. And we
Players. Euros too. Holy cow.
A lot of players are going to be our internationals on this team. The whole team is going, you know, except Mkhitaryan is not going to go, but everyone else.
Holy cow. Yeah. Yeah.
And Mkhitaryan deserves the rest. I have a couple wish list items that I'll say, because I don't really care about the point record. Now, obviously, we can't get the record, but in terms of reaching 100 points, like, I don't really care about that, because I'm always going to know what this team was. I don't need to look at the record books to see 100 points. Like, I'm always going to know what this team was. Here's my wish list. Torino and Lazio, the home games. I want to win those games. I want to win Sunday because the celebration is right after. And I just, you know, I want those points. I want us to defend our San Siro against Lazio and against Torino. I think he'll play the guys. Sassuolo, Frosinone, and Verona. I want to see rotation. I think Di Gennaro gets minutes, our third goalkeeper. Last year, what's his name? Was it Padelli? No, it wasn't
last
Padelli.
Last year is the third string keeper you're talking about?
Who's? Yeah, yeah. I'm blanking on him right now.
Last year was, no.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Alex,
it wasn't Alex Cordaz, was it?
No. It was Cordaz. Yeah, it was Cordaz.
Yeah, it was Cordaz. So I want to see Dijon Otto just get his minutes. I think, you know, not because he's a player for us, but more so because I think Inzaghi will do the right thing and have him play. Tejan, for sure, I want to see. Fratesi, would be nice for him, you know, to get some run. Same thing with Aslani, because, you know, next year, you know, the expectation is he's still Hakan's understudy, but also Hakan's 31. You know, Aslani's going to need to play a role. So definitely want to see, like, Bisek play as well. The rotation against the relegation sides, definitely want to see it. But I want to win those last couple home games. And that's it. See you off the season. Hopefully everyone can stay healthy and go into the Euros fresh. And also stay healthy at the Euros and Copa America.
Yeah, no, I like that. I agree with that.
Maybe some of the youngsters too. Akin San Miro. Sar.
Why not? Yeah.
Stankovic. Why not? DiMaggio. Bettenbrook.
You want Stank? You want the Stank?
Stabile. There's a lot of kids down there. There's a lot of kids down there. Then we'll see, you know, how things shake out for Project FTK this summer. I don't think it's going to be great. Oh, I also wanted to ask you, Auxilio basically confirmed Zielinski and Taremi signings and is saying that there's not going to be a squad upheaval.
Lies. Maybe not an upheaval, but there's going to be a squad refresh.
We'll definitely have a like summer transfer window preview episode. The more that I look at this team from an asset perspective, I think there might be some moves that are going to hurt Interisti, and I'll explain why at a later date. We'll save that for another episode. But yeah, anything else from the game or from this, you know, experience these last 24 hours you wanted to get into? We have any giveaways? What's going on? What's going on in the interviews world?
I gotta get a couple of cards out. Well, I had one winner's cards get sent back to me. Apparently I didn't put or chart or pay enough to ship it, which I waited. Like, you always have to weigh them before you send them, so I don't know how it came back like that. But anyway, I'm trying to figure out, and I know and the guy who won the Tejan Buchanan card, that card is going out. I just forgot, to be honest. I'm not gonna. But there is gonna be a giveaway of a Lautaro Martinez card as well, and I'm trying to decide what other player from this season to give away their card. There's going to be a Lauti card that I'm going to be including. I just got to get those other orders out as well. And listen, guys, everything costs money, especially working for the people who win in Canada. It ain't cheap. I actually don't know what to do sometimes with it, but yeah, that's where we're at. And sorry, I'm super distracted right now because I just saw I get notifications for Barella cards on eBay, and I just saw a Nicolò Barella 1/1 from this season's it's the Champions League cards from Topps. And it's called the European Knights, and it is a sick card, and it's 1/1. And this guy's asking for more money than I'm asking for my 1/1 Harry Kane autograph card. So I'm like, you're crazy. But anyway, the card's gorgeous. So if there's any Interisti who want to drop $700 on a 1/1 Nicolò Barella card, it's on eBay, guys. Do it.
There's in terms of content for interviews, I just switched over to Substack this morning because I'm going to start writing some more for the newsletter this summer for like transfer news and stuff like that. I also want to do transfer target like deep dive videos, basically just screen record as I go through a number of things. Like, obviously, you know, the best way to understand these people, these transfer targets, is to watch film. But I also want to do some like data analysis and stuff like that, just like live walk you guys through that on YouTube videos. I think that might be some cool content. We'll try it out. Goodmanson is the first one that I'm going to do because he's a player that I really want, and I'm just interested to go through that process. So we'll have some varied content coming out here for the summer for sure. You know, a lot of like summer window stuff is going to be just reacting to news, maybe like short episodes here and there, but we'll get some new stuff out to you guys. And also any suggestions that you have for content that you guys think is valuable, you know, always feel free to reach out. I've got to ship out shirts to Johnny and to Stefan Rossi, asked for a Curva Nord shirt. So I'm going to send that over to him soon. Yeah, so big things coming for the Scudetto winners. We'll talk about expectations for next year, all that good stuff.
Nice.
That we can't get into until the season is over. So we'll see how things shake out to end this year.
No, exciting stuff. And Alessandro and I are actually talking to somebody about shirts for you guys. The listeners.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time coming. Stuff. This person says they can do exactly what we want them to do. And if it comes out the way we hope, it's going to be some sick shirts. And there's going to be like a limited supply because, yeah. And we're not even doing it really to like make money for ourselves. It's really just to cover costs and cover it for the people who are going to be making it for us.
And because they're sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Time to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.